Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Incova Insurance, where we sit down each week to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. This is another one of our Q&AD segments with Gene. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Hopefully you're doing well.
I'm doing fantastic. Just another beautiful day here in Columbus, Ohio. We got some fantastic questions submitted from fans and listeners all across the country today, Gene. The first one, it comes from Andy in Akron. He wants to know how we balance the different opponents that we schedule for football, taking into account the expanded playoff, weighing, you know, potentially bringing in somebody like Notre Dame or an opponent that maybe isn't at the same caliber.
Yeah, you know, we try and look first and foremost at what services our needs locally. You know, we've always felt that our players and our fans want to see at least that one major opponent. And that's the Notre Dames of the world, the Texases of the world. And we'll continue to schedule them. Alabama's on our schedule. Because it's not just about the playoff. It's about our players want to play those teams and our fans want to see them in the shoe. So we'll keep doing that. But when it comes to the playoff, I think the things that the athletic directors are working on relative to the conference schedule that hopefully will be announced in the near future will help us in that regard. You know, we're discussing whether we should stay in divisions. We're discussing the value of the championship game. We will get to a new model where we will announce our schedules in the October prior to the year that we play. So it's a different model for us because everyone's used to seeing our long-term conference schedules. Well, that won't be the case. When we started October of 23, we'll announce 24. So relative to the playoff, I think it's important that we'll always have two in our non-conference schedule teams that we feel confident that we should be able to compete against and win, but we'll always have that major.
On the other side of that, Gene, we historically have made a point to schedule other teams from around the state of Ohio. Why is that important as well?
I've always felt that we needed to do everything that we could to help the Mid-American Conference teams. And when an opportunity presents itself, we try and focus on Ohio, trying to make sure we get the Mid-American Conference teams in Ohio scheduled. Actually, in Youngstown State, we were scheduling them in 23. We have them on the books so we can help them financially. We do pay large guarantees, and so we want to make sure that those schools benefit. They're in our geography. We have a strong affinity with our Mid-American Conference brethren, and they do a great job with their football program. So we want to help them, particularly the ones that are in Ohio.
Our next question, Gene, comes from Mark in Mesa, Arizona. And this question has to do with how we manage access to the sideline for football home games. How do we weigh who gets access to the sideline, and how do we take into consideration, you know, when Mr. James is in town and he wants to get down there?
Yeah, those are always challenging issues. We have buckets of units at the university that have access to the sideline. We, of course, have our recruits, not just for football, but for all sports. And so when you have a celebrity like LeBron and any of our former players that come back, not our football players, as well as our Olympic sport recruits, get an opportunity to be impressed by their presence. But we also have fundraising responsibilities. So we have our foundation, the university foundation, and then we have our athletic department development team that will bring people down to the sideline, people who have made commitments to us and people who are thinking about it. So we have that bucket as well. And then we have some alums in that space through our alumni office that periodically makes requests. And then, of course, we have our Learfield partner who have sponsors come down to the sideline. They sponsor the game, and in other parts of our athletic department. So I do have a pet peeve. They all have to be off by kickoff. So it becomes a mad scramble to get them off the field. But that pregame is an exciting time. And it's really good for those fans in particular to be down on the field.
Yeah, we don't need anybody getting run over by a drum major or a sousaphone. So
No. Then, of course, you mentioned it, Ben. I forgot that our band has people on the sideline as well that are guests of the band. So, yeah, we don't want anyone to get run over. It was, you know, when the game starts, it's game time.
Absolutely. Elijah from Reynoldsburg was firstly very excited to see Coach Day's extension, but then was curious what goes into that contract negotiation and how the years and dollar amounts are determined.
Yeah, you know, we have we try and have our salaries and compensation be consistent with the market, consistent with expectations. You know, we expect to have a championship program. In all phases. That means from a character point of view, that means from an academic point of view, a culture where our student athletes understand that this is how we behave at The Ohio State University. This is what it means to be a Buckeye and then win. And so we keep that in mind as we're looking at our compensation. But then we look nationally. We have access to all the contracts from public schools and universities across the country. So we collect those when necessary and do comparative analysis. In Ryan's case, he has an agent, and that agent is a great help to us. Trace Armstrong does a marvelous job in representing his clients, and he provides us with some information. So we take that into consideration and try and come up with the best contract for the employee, but also the institution in Ryan's case, every case. So that one worked out well. Now, obviously, we want Ryan to be compensated at the top of the pyramid, which he is. And that's consistent with our expectations.
How is that funneled down to the staff level? So the extended football staff, does Ryan have any say in how those salaries are designated, or how does that work?
Yeah, we work when it comes to his assistant coaches. He and I have a meeting usually at the end of the year when the season is over. Sometimes we're talking about it between the last regular season game and a bowl game or a CFP championship. So we're talking about it then, and then we nail it down right after that. And yes, he does have a large say in that, and his support staff as well. And we talk about the individual talent in all the units, be it athletic training, be it strength and conditioning, be it whatever, nutrition, whatever. We go through every single human, every person, and then we try and make sure we do a market analysis. We do have access to data that gives us comparative information nationally. And so we usually pay at the top of the pyramid in those ranges. And based upon the talent and performance, we have a performance management plan. So how can people get better? We go through that process as well.
Our final question is from Mike in Dublin, Gene, and he was very excited to see CJ sharing some of his NIL opportunities with his teammates, but wants to know how you've seen the NIL deals for the athletes impacting their day-to-day preparations and if there has been any impact there.
Yeah, I have a good question. I haven't seen it or heard of it impacting our student athletes day-to-day preparation for their individual sport. You know, we're fortunate. We have athletes who are committed to being the best that they can be, and they understand how to separate out distractions when it comes to preparing themselves for competition. And so while NIL is in play, I think it's like everything else in their lives. They know they have a role in that space and they can take advantage of it. But when it comes to competing, they separate out all those things. NIL, their boyfriends or girlfriends, their family, all those type of things are separated out because they know that they are on a stage and they want to be the best that they can be and they want to win. And so they separate those things out. So it's a great asset that athletes learn how to compartmentalize a lot of different things. And that's a huge benefit as they move forward in life. One of those lessons learned that a lot of people don't get an opportunity to learn. So NIL hasn't had that level of impact. And seeing CJ do that with his teammates was really, really enjoyable. And we've seen it in a couple other places. Our offensive line has done the same thing with Applebee's. And so we see it happening in a number of places.
You got to make sure those big guys up front are fed.
Yeah, those bonus wings, man.
Well, that'll do it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast presented by Encova Insurance. Gene, thanks for taking the time to do another Q&AD segment. Really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed this far. Until next time, we wish you well. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Thanks, Ben.